Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the only Formula One podcast that you need in your life. It is midweek F1. So this is the last look at the race just gone and the first look at the race coming up next weekend. I am Nicola Hume and as always I am joined by commentary legend Ben Edwards.
Thanks Nicola. What an amazing show we've got on our hands thanks to that amazing race in Melbourne. There's so much to talk about. It really is so much to look forward to. And all the major ups and downs of that weekend is what we're going to be looking into.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those races where I don't even know where to start when it comes to what to talk about. But thankfully, we're going to be discussing it later on with our very special guest.
And we're also going to have We Need to Talk About section that we are making every time we put this out. And there's plenty to talk about. But what we're going to go for are the various teams and drivers who really went through a bit of a difficult patch and already feeling under pressure, despite there only being one round of the season so far.
Yeah. And then we've got our midweek F1 Championship of the World, where we throw out our own predictions and we actually score points. And we'll see how well we did from last week's predictions, because I haven't actually tallied up the total. So we'll find out how bad I've done.
Yeah, I didn't do very well either. But never mind, we'll also be looking ahead because it all comes up quite quickly. We've got this weekend coming up with the next round in China. So we'll be looking at how the Shanghai circuit might suit Formula One. So there really is plenty to get into in the show.
Yeah, I mean, Australia was insane. What a start to the new F1 season. Now, there is so much to talk about. There was crashes, rain, flags all over the place and rookies all over the place as well. So I think we need to kind of narrow this down and discuss this properly. So producer Jim, I know you have a list of things for us to discuss. Go for it.
Okay, I want to talk about the F1 curses of Melbourne. Strike again. Curse one. Australian drivers in Melbourne. Still no homegrown winner. And let's talk about Oscar. So unlucky. And was it the team orders that began his decline? Discuss.
Oh, that's an interesting one, yeah, Jim. Yeah, team orders. I guess, at one time they were told you can't race against, just behave yourselves, don't race against each other. And then they said, right, now you can race against each other. I thought that was actually quite well done, that aspect.
Do you think?
I do.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
I understand it, though, because from a team point of view, you want to try and get your two away from the others. If you're two fighting right from the beginning, then quite often you just put yourself under pressure from everybody else as well. If you can get them away from the others and then say, right, now you can race against each other, that can sometimes work.
Okay, yeah, I can see your theory. But there was just a part of me, I think, as well, because it was his home race, that many of us, even if you're a McLaren fan, you were kind of rooting for Oscar over Lando last weekend because it was his home race. So the moment that I heard them say on the radio, we want you to hold position, you were like, no, let him go. Let him show what he can do. I found it very frustrating.
I do understand that. But at the end of the day, the team's job is to try and win the Constructors' Championship again, which they managed last year, of course, but also just to get points from both drivers. And that's the most important thing from their point of view, in a way. And then they did say, now you can go racing, which I thought was great. They didn't hold it back the whole time. And it was fantastic. I mean, the way Oscar Piastri was attacking Lando Norris, getting that bit closer and closer. It was such a shame that it fell apart due to the rain. But that was all part of the excitement of it.
And he did some wonderful reversing on
the
grass.
In the end, yes. Which, it took a while.
He said, wasn't there a quote from him saying that he learned how to reverse a tractor on Jeremy Clarkson's farm? So that's how he managed to get off the grass and back on the track. Bless him. Oh, that's curse number one. Curse number two.
Being Verstappen's teammate at Red Bull. Awful weekend for Liam Lawson. And a great weekend, as usual, for Max, given the mood music coming out of pre-season testing. Discuss Red Bull.
Yes. Curse number two. I understand. It's tricky to be Max's teammate. It is, because it's very obvious that the car is designed around Max and how he drives. And being that person that sits in the second car, you're up for a challenge because he's four-time world champion and he is an absolute machine when he's on the track. I think it was a really tricky weekend for Liam. It was just one of those things. I'm hoping that the next few races he'll be able to show what he's actually capable of doing, because we know that he's got a really good racing driver underneath that helmet. I hope that he can prove that over the next few races. I think it was just a little bit unlucky this weekend.
I do agree with that. I think Liam Lawson does have talent and I think he can show what he can do. But it was a tough weekend for him. Sad that he didn't get a finish either in the end, because he made a late mistake in the race, again in those tricky conditions. Max was impressive, but we've seen that. I mean, last year at Brazil, that amazing wet race. Other wet races, we've seen Max do incredible driving. Mm. And he was in very good control. But I do think it was also quite interesting as we go forwards, and we'll talk about it a bit more later, but the Red Bull car is still not certainly where it was at the beginning of last year. And he's having to struggle more with it, I think. There are some aspects they've improved, but I think his talent in those wet conditions helped him challenge. I wonder, when we go to more dry tracks, is it going to be even harder for him to keep the challenge to McLaren?
Do you think it's that Red Bull have dropped or McLaren have just climbed so fast?
It feels like McLaren have maintained that edge that they sort of gathered through last year.
Yeah.
Certainly going into this first race of this year. And as you say, I mean, Liam Lawson was obviously finding the car really difficult. Mm-hmm. And he's not a bad driver.
He's not.
No. So if Liam is finding it hard, it does imply to me that that car is not at its best at the moment. Max is finding ways to make it work because he has such talent. And yes, it's been designed around his style to a certain extent, which helps when you're a top driver like that. But it's still not showing me that could be a really dominant car like it has been.
Yeah, that was curse number two. Curse number three, producer Jim.
Ferrari strategy calls. took a massive gamble with both cars, leaving them out on dry tyres as the rain started to come down again. Your thoughts on Hamilton's debut?
Well, interesting, yeah. I mean, Lewis got point in the end, and he was leading the race. He was one of the three leaders of the race, so it's always nice to show that you've led a race when your first season with first
time. Because they just didn't
Ferrari. I know. And you can argue, that, as you were saying, that it was all because the team didn't decide to bring them in. And yes, it was a mistake in the end, but it is always very unpredictable when you're in these wet conditions, unless you've really got the team working on where the rain's coming from. Some teams are always very good. Sometimes they go online with it all. Sometimes they have people in key places telling them whether there is rain coming from that direction. I think sometimes that's a good thing to do, because it can help you when you've got other people who are actually reporting back to the team and telling you there's definitely rain coming into this area of the track.
I've always wondered that, because I always thought maybe they just check like six different apps. Like you'll check the Apple app, then you'll go on Met Office, then you'll go on BBC or whatever, so you can check all of the weather options. But if they're having people out there, that makes a bit more sense, doesn't it?
Sometimes it can help. But you know, I also wondered, you know, when they didn't come into the pits, and then should they have then risked it? Because we had another delay, yellow flags and stuff, I did wonder whether if they just then stayed out there and hadn't come in, could there have been a chance? But it was still pretty wet. By the time it went to green again, I think they would have lost a lot of places. Mm-hmm. It's just very unpredictable sometimes that it could have been worth a risk, because if the yellow flag had lasted a bit longer, and sometimes it can take a while to pick up cars.
Yeah.
We all noticed that over the weekend, that some cars to get out of the way was taking quite a while. If that had taken a bit longer and there'd only been sort of three or four laps at the end, then maybe staying on the slick tyres might have worked. But, you know, every way it sort of went a bit wrong for Ferrari. And I was a bit disappointed, to be honest, with how they did in qualifying. They weren't as quick as I thought they were going to be.
And also, I think, I don't know if you noticed as well, but Lewis was getting a little bit annoyed with them on the radio, very much like, no, leave me to it. Stop talking to me, leave me to it. You don't have to say it twice. Just let me go. Leave me to it. Was getting a little bit
That was
cross.
Fascinating. But I think it was good too, because I think Lewis is working with his race engineer, understanding each other, and he's got to be fairly pointed about what he needs and what he doesn't need. Mm. And I think that is Lewis's style. And I think he wasn't being rude. He was being quite adamant and quite solid, as you say. But he wasn't being rude. And I think that it's just developing that relationship with your engineer is such a key part of being top-level motorsport.
We think all the years he's done with Bono, and they just knew each other inside out.
Absolutely.
That he knew exactly how to communicate with Lewis, and the same vice versa, that now having someone else in his ear all the time, they need to find that rhythm.
Absolutely. No, it's really important that I think that they develop it. And so in the first race, particularly in wet conditions, where the Ferrari is not responding in the same way to him as the Mercedes has done in the past. And I think, you know, so he's trying to absorb all this different information from within the car. Mm. Sometimes too much information coming in from his ears. He has to just sort of cancel that and get rid of it.
Yeah.
So it's Ricardo Adami who is his race engineer. I think he's going to work well with Lewis, but clearly it's just going to take a few races before they get it absolutely right.
I love that you have your full commentary notes with you today. Absolutely love it. Oh, that was curse number three. Can I bring up curse 3.1? So Australia, the last 3 years on that race, whoever won the race has DNF'd the following year. So Charles Leclerc won in 2022, DNF'd in 23. Max won in 23, DNF'd 24. Sainz won 24 and DNF'd this year. So running on that theory, Lando will DNF next year.
Well, that's a prediction. That is a prediction, isn't it? It's going to be hard to predict everything this year, though. I mean, you know, that race, how could you... Okay, Lando Norris won from pole. That sounds easy, doesn't it, in Formula One? That's so often the case. But the rest of it, and actually how he still managed to win it with everything that was going on, fascinating. And, you know, really unpredictable race, you know, driver Kimi Antonelli coming from 16th on the grid to end up finishing in fourth
place. Amazing.
You couldn't really have predicted that.
Yeah. Producer Jim?
So final thing, bearing everything in mind, it was a crazy race. Do you think we have learned anything about the pecking order after that?
It's always hard. I know it's really difficult. And I've always found that you do race one and you think, oh, when we come out of race one, we'll know who's where. But actually we don't particularly. But I do think there are a few things I learned. The Ferrari was not as strong as I thought it was going to be. But I do think they'll have some weekends where they are strong. Was that a one-off or will they manage to get themselves back together? Mm. That's quite an interesting question. The Mercedes was strong, as we'd seen in testing.
Yes.
George Russell did a very good job. And of course, Antonelli, as I mentioned, you know, coming up that well. Mm. Okay, there were problems for others, but he did do that extremely well. But it does look to me as though McLaren do have that little edge at the moment. We've got 23 races still to go. It can develop very much as we go through the season, as we saw last year when Red Bull dominated initially, but got beaten in the constructors by McLaren. So who knows?
So who knows? So 23 races more to go, which means 23 episodes of this still to go. So make sure you subscribe and tell your friends. Shall we bring in our special guest?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's a real pleasure to invite along and to join us a man who's been seen by millions of people on YouTube, an incredible engineer and inventor, Colin Furze. Colin, lovely to have you with us.
Hello, how are we doing?
How are you?
I'm very good. I'm excited.
Now, I believe you're a bit of an F1 fan. We'll get into all that in a moment. But what did you think of the very first race of this new season?
I thought it was good. It was worth getting up for. I got up at 3:30.
So did I.
I'm somebody that has to watch them all live. You know, we've had weddings ruined and all sorts of things, you know, with me trying to watch them on my phone and whatnot. So, yeah,
you can't do that at a wedding.
You can. Weddings are boring.
No. So,
do you know what I mean? Just a race going on. But no, I quite like the fact that you have to get up in the middle of the night. I was, you know, because Bahrain's been a good first round for a lot of years.
Yeah.
But I think there's something exciting about setting your alarm, getting up. I mean, for me, because I watch my Formula One races in my bunker at the bottom of the garden. Like,
we can talk about that later.
Talk about that in a minute. But like getting up, making your cup of tea and like walking down in a pitch black darkness, like when everyone else is asleep and sort of thing going down there. I don't know. It just adds to the excitement for me.
Someone put on social media that getting up at 3:30 or whatever it was in the morning on Sunday was a bit like when you get up stupidly early to go to the airport to go on holiday.
Yeah, you see.
It's the same vibe.
And that's got like some weird feeling about it. Because like normally if someone said, do you want to get up at 3:30? You'd be like, no.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely
but,
not.
But give it a good reason. It's like, wait, get up.
It's really lovely having you on the show, by the way.
That's all right.
I need to kind of understand your journey a bit more from how you've gone from plumber to guy on YouTube with 13 million subscribers. It's a bit of a journey you've had.
It's been a long journey.
Yeah.
So it's not happened overnight. Essentially, I used to make things in my spare time. And then the internet kind of became a thing. Mm. Or YouTube became a thing, not the internet. Yeah. Not been doing it that long. And I started like, you know, filming things, uploaded it. And it's kind of snowballed and it's kind of gone on from there. Because I started 2006, my YouTube channel started. So it's only a year after YouTube itself would first come around. And initially, it was just like some little wacky things. Because before that, I used to ride BMX a lot and I used to film that. And we used to do like some silly things.
Stunty things.
That used to get put on like a VHS tape, which was like passed around the neighbourhood. Yeah. And then like somebody said, oh, there's this site where you can upload videos. So I basically snipped that up into like tiny sections because you could only upload like 100 meg. Right. Was like the limit for one video. So it either had to be terrible quality or quite short. So I kind of snipped it up, put it out, and then that got a little bit of traction and people started following it. And then sort of with anything that does well, it drives you on to want to do it more, doesn't it? I mean, anyone that's ever put a social post out or doing anything on any site, if it does well, you kind of think, oh, brilliant, I'll try and do that again. Mm. And so that kind of drove me to trying to think of other stuff sort of thing. And it was less for the like the BMXing, obviously. I'd sort of gone past that a little bit and I started making things. And then initially it was kind of like, I mean, like one of the first favourite videos of mine was a video called Fast, Fast Food, where we were coming home from something. It was really hungry and we passed this guy with like a burger van. And I was like, if he was serving, I could reach out and I could take a burger off him there. And then we suddenly thought, that's a great idea. So we got an old caravan and like cut a window out of it, made it into like this burger van and then tried to serve all my mates while we were driving along down the road.
That's brilliant.
So little things like that. And then it sort of slowly evolved into like more engineering, more like heavily making stuff. And because I was a plumber, I'm like, I didn't really know how to weld. I didn't know, you know, lathes and stuff. I just bought everything and just learned as I went on. So the whole thing, my skills have grown with the internet channel.
Did you learn how to weld and things from other videos on YouTube then?
Yeah, a little bit. It was like a self-perpetuating snowball where you think like, how's that going to happen? You know, and then you go and have a look. And there's certain things that come from comments. Like I was making something and somebody said, oh, why don't you try hydroforming it? You only need a pressure washer. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like you do a little Google and you can like inflate metal just using your garden pressure washer. And then that obviously led on to another project sort of thing. So it's really interesting, you know what I mean, how things can like kind of, you know, knock on effect.
It's amazing. Some of the stuff I've seen you inventing, engineering on YouTube are just remarkable things that you've come up with. Formula One is a world where engineering is, of course, at a very, very high level as well. Is that something that sort of tempts you into Formula One, or have you ever thought, I could become an F1 engineer, or is it what?
I guess I like the things that I really like about the F1 engineering is all the little quirky ones, the F-duck, the DAS, the things where someone's fought around the problem, the whole frick, and you know, suspension, nearly like the sneaky inventions, like the ones that try and not circumvent the rules, but certainly take the word in and think, ah, well, that's only saying for us to do that, like the double diffuser sort of thing. It was like, yeah, it's illegal because you're only asking us to do this, but you haven't told us not to do this.
There's a loophole.
Yeah. It's thinking outside the box and it's just, you know, it's just taking it at face value and then saying, ah, but they've missed something here. Like, they're the bits that I find are the most interesting, and I think people like me that like making stuff, I think that's what excites them. So
is that in a way part of what your interest in Formula One is? It's not, is it the drivers? Is it the engineering? What is the biggest part for you?
I think as a sport as a whole, it's everything. But definitely the engineering is what sort of like brought me into it initially. I first got into it because I like my old BMWs, and then BMW was an engine supplier to the Williams team, and I noticed there was little articles in some BMW magazines, and I thought, oh, you know, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
And obviously, I used to watch it always from absolutely the beginning of the programme, so all the run-up, hoping that they'd do something about the engines or about, you know, how things worked and stuff like that. So that's what kind of hooked me into it. And then, of course, with anything, once you start watching it for a while and you start to get to know the drivers, get to know the characters, understand the circuits and everything, and then you're just hooked then. You know, that's it, you're a fan.
So has that kind of made you a Williams fan, because they had a cracker of a race. Well,
yeah, I mean, signs. I have.
Albon had a brilliant race.
Yeah, I have sort of hopped around a little bit in terms of like teams that I've liked. The probably one I've always struggled with is Ferrari, because when obviously I got into it, Schumacher was in his pomp, and I didn't like that his teammate was not allowed to beat him. I was like, that's not fair, mate. You've got to race your teammate as well. Yeah. You can't just, you know, like the whole Austria thing when they got told to move over, that was it for me. It's like, I'm not interested in you now. That's not competition. And he just used to charge around. Ferrari had their veto, didn't they? So if they didn't like one of the rules, they could say, no, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, come on, this is not cricket. You know, you can't do that. So I've always struggled with Ferrari. And it's obviously with Lewis going there this season, I've kind of been like, how am I going to deal with this, if you know what I mean? Because I kind of want him to do well. I'd like him to get another, you know, get another championship if he can. But at the same time, I'm like, But yeah, but no, Williams, I used to like them. Obviously, Hamilton come into it, did really well. McLaren, Jensen, obviously fantastic. The Brawn story was amazing.
Yeah.
Obviously, then, you know, Lewis moved to Mercedes, so obviously that was good. But then Red Bull, I used to like Vettel, great character. Daniel Ricciardo, probably my favourite driver personally.
Yeah.
You know, the personality, brilliant, always funny. And obviously, so that was Red Bull. Who else have we got sort of thing? But then, like, you know, like the smaller teams, like Toro Rosso, I used to quite like watching them. Good colour scheme, the stupid names they've got now. I wish they'd just go back to Toro Rosso. And just like, just all sorts of things. Hulkenberg, you know, I quite like him. I've, you know, I want him to get a podium or at least something in his career.
Yeah, I would like that.
So yeah, I've kind of, you know, I'd like to think I'm generally just a fan of the sport.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't wish ill upon any of them, but you know, we all want to see a good race and I want to see someone fight for it as well. You know, Max a couple of years ago just winning everything. Not interested in that. I didn't like it when Lewis was just winning it too easy. At least when he had Rosberg as a teammate, you didn't know when you were watching qualifying or the race who was going to win, because they generally, it could have been either of them. So at least there was some, you know, there was something to keep you there. So yeah, as long as it's, you know, I just want it to be good.
Yeah, fair enough. And so you said that you watched the Australian Grand Prix in your bunker.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your bunker.
Talk about the bunker.
How peed off are your neighbours? Because I've been watching the videos of you building this whole big underground thing in front of your house and underneath your house. That would really annoy me if you were my next door neighbour. It really would.
Well, the bunker's in the back garden. That's at the bottom. That was done. That's nearly 10 years old.
In
October, that'll be 10 years old. So we did that a long time ago. And then ever since I've finished it, I've always thought this needs to be connected to the house because I'm walking outside down the path. You know, I mean, that's just not 21st century human being, is it?
So, it's just not.
And if it's raining, you get wet.
I look at my house and I go, oh, I might paint my downstairs loo. But no, you just want to build tunnels underneath your whole entire house.
Men love tunnels some reason. The idea of just being able to go down, walk along and come back up something is just like...
Have you got secret doors? Like doors that don't look like doors?
No, but I do need to work on that.
I feel like it needs a slide.
It wants a fireman's pole. Yeah, it wants all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely, that's definitely a future project, because in the pantry where you get into it from the house, we've made the floor completely false, so I can unbolt that and then I can put something else in, like a lift that lowers down.
Oh, I love that.
Or something. So like a dumb waiter, but for humans.
Yeah.
So that just goes all the way in. But I'm not quite there yet, because I'm still working on the now, the secret garage, you see. Now, this is the thing you're on about with the neighbours.
So
the tunnels, initially, at the moment, go from the house to the workshop and along to the front garden. And then the whole front garden is going to be a massive garage where the car can come
up. Yeah, so this is what I saw. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what you've seen. And that's what the neighbours would obviously be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So, well, you're a little bit, I mean, you're kind of right. So the guy that lives next to me, he's getting a whole new drive and fence and everything out of it. So he's getting something. Also, he's at work all day. So he's not like sat there, you know, like, oh, like, what's he doing sort of thing. So he doesn't really get to experience, you know, most of the work. And then the people the other side are also getting a new fence out of it, because I'm going to do all nice and steel, and he's quite interested in it.
Nicola, I think this guy has these amazing ideas, completely out of the rest of the world in many ways. I think we need to ask him about the rookies in Formula One.
Because, good shout.
Because they are coming in fresh with maybe new thoughts, new ways of going into it. It's an interesting angle.
Let's bring it back to Formula One.
Go on,
that's
then.
Good.
I could get so lost in the bunkers. Well done for bringing us back onto the Formula One subject, which is what we're supposed to be talking about. Yes.
What do you think of the rookies? I mean, because there were ups and downs this last week with this first round, weren't they?
It was to be, if you were a rookie, that was the worst first race for you to have. Do you know what I mean? A street circuit, wet, walls everywhere. And also, it wasn't wet in any of the practice sessions or qualifying. It was just wet on race
indeed
day, wasn't it?
So yes.
That's, you know, the worst possible situation. Obviously, Hadjar coming off on the first corner, felt sorry for him. But then what a class act from Hamilton's dad.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Coming up to
that
him.
That really touched me. That
same things like that. That's
Papa Hamilton saving the day.
I think part of Lewis's sportsmanship has obviously definitely come from his dad.
Yes.
The thing that I always think about, which was amazing from Hamilton after Abu Dhabi 2021, he literally just sat in his car, didn't he quiet, got out, shook Max's hand, did what he had to do and then disappeared. Oh, I'd have literally gone nuts. I'd have been smashing his car up. I'd have been gone up into the FIA, chucking all their chairs at the blooming screens. Like, what the hell was that? But just to be so composed and stuff was absolutely amazing. So, yeah, for him to go up to Isaac or Isaac, or I don't know if we've quite worked out what
F2,
his name is.
It was Isaac or
Now, well, yeah, he has been known as Isaac, but I noticed that most people are calling him Isaac now, or Isaac Hager.
It's a bit like Kubica, or Kubica, because nobody really knew how to say that, and I don't think he knew what to tell him of, because it's a Polish pronunciation was a bit weird that no one's like, well, we can't say that.
All the names have changed over the years. Ayrton became Ayrton Senna, you know, when we go back. So it's all these names do shift around a little bit, and then we get into the regular. But what about other rookies that we saw? I mean, Kimi Antonelli, that was pretty impressive.
He done well, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's good. Boy.
Yeah, obviously
the man who's basically taken Lewis Hamilton's seat at Mercedes.
Yeah, you see, that's an added pressure. That is, it's not just his first race. He's replaced, you know, somebody that within that team was essentially what the team has been built around for all those years. So he's got that added pressure that, you know, people expect him to do well. Obviously, Toto's kind of badged him as the next Verstappen, so he's got that on his shoulders as well. So he's carrying a lot of external pressure that some of the others aren't. But no, he did very well to get up to fourth. That was absolutely fantastic. I mean, obviously, I'm trying to think, where was he before all the chaos? I think he was like, was he 12?
He started like P16 or something.
He was P16.
Yeah. But he got the fourth, didn't he, essentially, because of the late rain show. I'm trying to think where it was before that.
And some of the team decisions on tyres.
Yeah. So, but even so, he didn't chuck it in the wall. A lot of people did. Obviously, Behrmann, who's not a rookie, and says he's had three last year, but
that's right,
still a rookie. So I think obviously he's had a bad weekend.
That was a tough weekend.
He needs to put that behind.
I think he will be able to put it behind him. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It was a tough one.
Are we feeling positive about Behrmann? Because I have him in my fantasy team, and I need to know whether I should keep him or not.
I think so. I mean, the three races he did last year, two of them he scored points, didn't he? The Brazil one wasn't the greatest one. Again, that was wet.
That was crazy for everyone.
Yeah. So. But no, his standing for Sainz was great. Do you know what I mean? He got seventh for that. Brilliant, didn't he? And I don't think he'd done one of the practice sessions, Eddie. I think he'd come in like literally like phoned up like Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, you need to get over here. So no, he excelled in that. And obviously the Baku one, he did well as well. Not an easy track to, you know, to just get chucked in on as well.
I'll hold on to him for now then.
Yeah,
I'll hold on to him.
Yeah, no,
don't go chopping him in just yet.
I mean,
it's only been one race, and also Albert Park's a bit like it's a bit of a strange track, isn't it? It's like you were saying earlier about the pecking order. Do you think we know what the pecking order is? And I was like, it's a funny track.
Yeah.
So, and also testing wasn't there because in the last few years we've had testing at Bahrain and then a race.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that definitely has an effect on things. So it'd be interesting to see. China could throw up completely different results.
What are your thoughts on Jack Doohan? Because you're a motorbike man as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I watch the MotoGP as well. He's obviously with them signing Colapinto, that must have been a bit of a confidence knock. It's nearly like they're talking about getting rid of him before he's done anything. And I'm trying to think, that's not very... Do you know what I mean? Imagine going for a job, arriving, you know, before your first day and you've already... You heard murmurings that they're thinking about replacing you.
Yeah.
It's a different sort of pressure because it's not, I've not just got to perform. I nearly feel like I've got to get on with everybody and be like, you know, really, really nice person or else I'm just going to be out. So he's took it steady, I think. I think he's probably obviously gone, well, there's no point chucking it in the wall willy-nilly. So I might as well just kind of steady and build myself up. But whether he's going to be allowed time for that, I don't know.
Okay.
So I think he's...
There's one we're going to have to keep an eye on.
I think if any of them's going to get biffed out soon, he's the one that's most likely to, because there's some talk of like in his contracts only for like four races or something stupid.
Really?
I've read things like that, that there's like, you know, he's only been contracted for a certain amount of races.
Interesting.
So,
I didn't hear that. Did you hear that?
No, I'm not sure. You never quite know the detail of these contracts.
Yeah, I mean,
there can be elements.
Nonsense.
Yeah, so. There can be elements, but it's always hard to predict. Gabriel Bortoleto, he managed to out-qualify his teammate, Hülkenberg, for the race, but actually missed out because he was one of those that went out.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting because I think the whole weekend he was thinking about Helmut Marko's B-spec driver comment. so I think that's kind of given him a bit of a carrot, really. So I'm going to blooming show you.
Yeah.
So
in your face.
Yeah. So I think he qualified Hülkenberg, didn't he? And that's, you know.
And he's another one of those drivers that's won F3, won F2, and now into F1. We've seen a few do that. Charles Leclerc did it. A few others did it. So
it's pretty much the majority of the rookies that we lost on the race, bar Kimi Antonelli.
I think Behrmann got
Fernando
to the end, didn't he?
Behrmann got to the end. And even Alonso, that well-known rookie is.
Yeah. Well. Do you know, I wonder if he did that just to make him feel better.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? All these rookies,
we all do
just
it.
Slam it at the wall. You know, anyone can do it. But no, I think, it, like I said, a terrible first race to be your first Formula One race. So I don't think we should judge them just yet.
Well, I think it's time that we should look ahead to China next weekend.
Right.
So we have our midweek F1 prediction championship of the world now. We did our predictions last week with the lovely Vicky Butler-Henderson, who was sat in your seat last week. And she did a pretty good job, actually. She is the one that's got the guest off the line. Actually, I think you're off the line as well. So let's have a little look at the points.
Right.
You're going to put in a prediction for first place, second place and third and for fastest lap. So it's 6 points, 4 points, 2 points, 1 point for fastest lap. Now, Vicky got it right that George Russell was going to be in P3.
Yeah.
So she's got herself some points there. So the guest is already on their way. You got fastest lap with Lando. Well done. Myself and producer Jim, nothing.
What did you put down then?
I think I had, what did I have? Max?
Yeah, I think you had Max.
Yeah, you had Max
with
first.
Max, Oscar and Lando, I think. And then the fastest lap, I put George. Yeah. I was feeling good about it, but now I'm questioning everything.
We all tended to put Oscar Piastri into that podium. We all wanted to see the Australian get a podium.
It just felt
so
right.
close.
And it was close, wasn't it?
It felt
so
right.
We were watching that race thinking, yeah, he's going to be there. But he wasn't.
He deserved it, though. He's so wonderful.
It's kind of weird because like what you were saying earlier about the people, like Lando's going to DNF next year.
Yeah.
So you'd like to think, obviously, he's Aussie, he's in a good car, whether next year or whether over the next certain amount of years he's going to do it. But of course, it's got regulation change next year.
Yeah, so who knows next
no
year?
There's no telling who's going to be the best.
Yeah.
Or who's going to have the best car. So I think he may have had that in the back of his head, thinking if it's not, you know, this is like my chance to do this.
Yeah.
But.
So what do we think about China then? What are your thoughts? It's a track that's been won by the various different top
teams. I'm going to say, because I was trying to look back in my internal statistics and thinking, like, what's this a good track for? But Red Bull never used to be good in the straight line, but then they kind of got cure when they took the Honda engine.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be wet.
It
always looks like, it's weird. It's like, it's a fascinating circuit. I like it as a race. It normally produces a reasonable good race. There's good overtaking spots, but it always looks dreary, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's like it's in the middle of a bog and it's always like somebody just goes like cloud. Yeah, well, I've cloud, lots of cloud. Like, it's never sunny.
Nice and grey.
And there's like some weird grandstand around the back, which they built and then just thought, we won't bother that now. Don't sell any tickets for that. We'll just put a big poster over it.
So, I gather it's going to be warming up in theory over the weekend. They've had fairly chilly temperatures, but in theory, it's going to be a bit warmer. Well, you might get some sunshine.
Oh, right.
Ooh, does that change everything?
Yeah, because we still don't know whether the Mercs are good in warm weather, because I don't think Australia was that hot, was it?
No.
So, and there's always that theory in Bahrain, because it was cold,
it
that
was
they
cold.
Did really well. And that's because they had that trait from last year, didn't they? Where cold, in the cold, they seem to do a lot better. So are they going to do any good? Because I think Red Bull were flattered a little bit with the conditions. So I don't think they're as good as they looked. I think Max's wet weatherness probably got them up there. I think had it been dry, they would be a bit further back. I will go Oscar, Lando, Russell.
Okay. Oh.
Just because I think he's going to try and bounce back and have a bit of a...
Okay.
So just to be a bit different.
Fastest lap? Even though there's no points for fastest lap on
the... Yeah, I don't know why they got
rid of
that.
We're still doing it.
That didn't make any sense, them getting rid of that. I know, I think it was probably caused because of Ricciardo. They told him to pull in, didn't they? Because of trying out the constructors thing. And I think somebody at F1 thought, oh, that's a bit sneaky.
Yeah, but even Ben was saying that it's really handy to have it when it's quite a boring race, then you've got something to talk about.
Yeah. It adds something at the end of a race, doesn't it?
So, and it will still be relevant with, you know, one would still talk about it. But that point makes a difference. And it can make a difference in the championship at the end. So, yeah, I'm a bit disappointed, I have to say, that they've taken that point away.
Yeah, I thought it was unnecessary to get rid of that.
Yeah.
So. Fastest lap. You see, I think that could be someone a bit random. So I think I'll go with Max for the fastest lap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But we're all presuming that McLaren's going to do well.
It's an interesting lineup you've come up with, because it's almost the same as mine, funnily enough.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, the one I've decided, maybe I should change it, but I'll stick with what I've got. So I've gone for Lando taking the win, actually.
Yeah.
The confidence that he might have picked up from doing what he did at the weekend, which was a tough weekend, to do it, having taking pole, taking the win, that confidence will help him going forwards, there's no doubt. Yeah. And he's gone well at Shanghai before. So I'm going to go for Lando first, Oscar second, because I do feel the McLaren car should work well. Straight line speed, very good.
Yeah, them. I think they should. It should.
And it's a long old back straight, isn't it?
Yeah, because they're quite slippery as well.
Yeah. So. And I am also going to go for I'm going to go for Russell third, which is what you said
isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Russell third, but Verstappen fastest lap. So we're very similar. Yeah. So we might score nothing, but we're on similar ideas.
Producer Jim? Want? Or me? What? Jim first? Me. Me? Me. Okay. Oh, no. Right. I think I'm going to go Oscar P1. Also, because I really want it for him and I think he can do it. I'm going to go Max P2. Mm-hmm. This is not because I have a contract with Red Bull.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. It's because I think he won last year. And yeah. I know he's confident and happy on that track. And I just got a feeling there might be something from Lando that might be a little wobble that will then put him in P3. So I'm going for a McLaren sandwich at the top there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I think fastest lap, curveball, Kimi.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout.
Okay. So Mercedes, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a random Kimi fastest lap doing it. Go for it. Producer Jim.
I'm kind of along the same lines. I'm desperate for Oscar to win because I think we all just want, he'll be so revved up. So like, I need to make amends for the curse of of Melbourne. Lando second, because I just think they are the best car. And I agree with Colin. I think Red Bull flattered to deceive. And if it's a dry race, which I think it might be, I'm going to go Leclerc.
Ah. Oh. We've not spoke about Ferrari, have we?
No, and actually, I mean, I thought Ferrari were going to go stronger. So I think it's good that one of us has put a Ferrari in that top three, because I do think if it all comes together right, then they could suddenly show that good pace again.
I do. You'd put Ferrari above Mercedes. That's interesting.
Because if it's warm, I don't think the Mercedes will run.
And have we looked at the temperature? Do we know how warm it is?
No, I should have looked at that before. I was even going to look at the weather.
It's a pure guess. and I'm spread betting again for fastest lap because it worked so well for me last week with Verstappen.
Okay. So that's three Verstappen fastest laps, even though he won't get the point if he does actually get it. That's really good. Brilliant.
Where do we think Ferrari will come though?
Well, overall, you mean during the whole season? Or?
Yeah, open question. I don't think they're as bad as they looked in Melbourne. I think that was just...
I agree.
Yeah.
Because first day of free practices, they were actually looking pretty good, I thought. But it just seemed to go away from them a little bit as the weekend went on. And I do think there are some circuits, they are going to get this back together. They will make it work. But
when there's just a solid race with no drama around it,
yeah.
I think they're going to do really well. But it all comes down to their strategy, how well they're getting along on the radio, who's thinking this, who's thinking that, and then just not agreeing on certain things, which seems to be Ferrari's downfall and has been for the last few years of their strategy side of things. So I can only hope that Lewis... and his confidence builds up and he'll just put...
I think there. He needs to go on like a canoeing weekend with his race engineer. It's a bit of a team building.
Yeah?
I
can't see Lewis in a kayak. Can't see it.
No. It's kind of weird because like the way they were talking to each other, you kind of like thought like you'd think between like, you know, January and that race, they would have done something.
Gone for dinner or something.
Where they... Or even like when he's on the simulator, he must have, the race engineer must be in his, I mean, obviously, I don't know how the simulators work, if it's literally like, yeah, mate, go and drive around.
No, the engineer's always with them.
Yeah, you'd expect them to talk to him.
Yeah.
But it kind of did feel like that was nearly like the first time they'd ever spoken to each other.
A race is a race. You cannot, whatever prediction, whatever setup you do to get ready to go racing, nothing is like getting out in a race. Honestly, I mean, I know what it's like. And so for all of those, whether they were rookies or fully experienced, they learned a huge amount over the weekend by doing the first race of the 2025 season. And that's what we're now looking forward to, how they develop those connections, both with the cars themselves and with their engineers. This is an ongoing game.
Is there a part of you that kind of wants the engineer to keep talking to him too much just so it causes a bit of drama?
I mean, it's quite fun for us to listen to, isn't it?
Yeah. So,
but then equally, it's a bit cringeworthy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh my God, you're having like a spat on the radio. Shut up! Stop saying it! I think that will disappear in three or four races time. You'd think they'd kind of worked each other out, but then in it. So, but it must be quite hard to just get thrown in with someone and go, here's somebody you now have to get on perfectly.
Yeah. So on last week's episode, randomly, Vicky Butler-Henderson, we finished on a fun fact, and it was a fun fact about owls.
Oh yeah.
Don't know where it came from. It just came out.
What was that then?
It was, why did owls turn their heads?
To talk to people.
That
just like you,
as well as as well as they can't move their eyes.
All right.
Which is why they have to turn their heads. Good fun fact to finish on.
I should have known that, really, because Charlotte sent me on this blooming, what's that called, when you're on a day where birds land?
Or like
on
a falconry day.
Falconry day, that's it. All day I spent with this guy in the middle of nowhere talking about stuff like that. Well, it seems I've forgotten it all. Oh, well, it was a waste of money.
Remember that fact. So I wanted to finish on like a fun fact or a fun thought from you.
Right.
So go for it.
Okay. So I was thinking, right, with the whole getting around the rules thing with our wind tunnel, because they're restricted now with their wind tunnel time, aren't they?
Yes.
Is why don't they get an Arctic lorry, stick the car in the back, have like a bit of a chute that comes up over the cab, drive up the A1 at said miles an hour, somebody in the cab with a smoke machine.
Yeah.
Giving it like that, smoke coming down, and they could all be in the back looking at how the smoke goes over the car and out the thing. Sneaky wind tunnel.
That would work. My problem is the A1, has it got speed cameras?
The A1 at places is pretty good. The A1 after Peterborough. Okay. I've done some speed tests down there before in my time. It's four lanes. Do you know what I mean? Night time, you've got a nice straight bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, get the old car in the back. Disguise it as like a, I don't know, Hovis lorry or something. No one's going to suspect that, are they?
No, you're right.
So, bred wind tunnel.
Quite like
Yeah.
Great stuff. No, you come up with some great stuff, Colin. It's lovely to have had you with us. Thank you so much.
That's all right.
Thank you for joining us, for talking about Formula One. We've got so much to look forward to. We're looking forward to China coming up, mm-hmm. and we'll be talking about that next Wednesday, of course, and the next round coming up after China, which will be Japan. We'll be looking into that one as well.
Yeah, so make sure you subscribe. F1 is back with a bang. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for having me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.